Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, as your pastors, one of our big picture duties is to ensure that our mission and our vision are being carried out. Now, I have many other duties. I'm currently working on my projector maintenance degree because this projector is not working at the moment. So we do lots of other things, but our big picture job is to make sure that we as the church are executing our mission and our vision. And it's so important that we have an administrative board that oversees that to make sure that we're doing our jobs. And so this is a really important thing for us. It's important that we as a church, I was turning to preach to the choir, but they're not there. They're on holiday. It's really important that we as a church are actually doing what we say we want to do, right? Now, some of you are thinking, I see it in your head right there. You're thinking, Mike, duh, it's Matthew 28. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And indeed, that is our mission. That is our job. Only it's a little more complicated than just going and making disciples. Does that pop anybody's bubble? This is a complicated thing. And I will tell you, I was the director of the Vibrant Church Initiative for our former conference. And I've been to hundreds and hundreds of churches. The deal is that you have to make disciples with the body of Christ that you are, that you have, right? And then you have the context in which you have been placed. And so not only do you have the body of Christ that is you, you have the context, the neighborhood, the community in which you have been set. And those things can get very complicated. And I have seen in my visits to hundreds of churches that sometimes they don't connect. Sometimes the context has changed. And the church is still trying to do what they did 30 years ago to connect to folks in the community, and it doesn't work. And so this idea of making disciples is a little more complicated than just, duh, it's Matthew 28. Because we have to make disciples with the body that is us, and we have to do it within the context in which we have been placed. But I have to say that since our move to the Global Methodist Church and us deciding what we believe and how we are going to go forward, I feel like God has been really moving in our church. We have new first-time guests almost every single Sunday. We've had 12 baptisms this year alone. And I got to baptize for the first time in my life an entire family. That was so exciting, y'all. I'm still kind of on cloud nine over that. And then we have taken our impact internationally again. And we have reached out to this church in Cuba that is our sister church. We started really doing things, and I think God is moving in our midst. So why do we need to make disciples of Jesus Christ? Really? The answer is so very simple. It's love. It's because of love that we should want to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Our text today comes from the epistle of 1 John, the love chapter, you might know it, chapter 4. We're going to read verses 11 through 21. Hear these words. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We loved because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters, they are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of God for the people of God. So the author of this epistle, this letter, is making the claim that God is love. We've all heard it. We've all heard it said. We've all said it. This is the place that it comes from. This is a source in Scripture in which the idea that God is love comes from. He goes on to say that if we love each other, then God abides with us and us with God. He goes on to say that if you love God and hate your brother, then you are fooling yourself. You don't really love God if you hate your brother or your sister. And further, he makes the claim that all of this love that is floating around between us and God and us in the body of Christ and us and our brothers and sisters happens because God first loved us. Now, some of you probably have asked yourself the question, why did God even create us? Why did God create the world? Your answer is here. God created us. God created the world as an act of love. If God is in fact love, God can't sit around and just love God's self. He has to have someone to love. The act of creation, the beauty of his creation, is in itself an act of love. This claim of this text is if we love God, we have to love one another. We have to love our brothers and our sisters. And if we love someone, we want them to know Jesus Christ like we do. We want them to experience that saving grace. We want them to experience the forgiveness that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. We want them to experience the gift of eternal life. We have this wonderful gift, we as followers of Jesus Christ, and we should want to share this love with our brothers and our sisters. If we love everyone that looks like us or thinks like us, we are falling short. This text makes it absolutely clear that we are to love our sisters and our brothers. That's everybody. That's people that don't think like us. It's people that don't look like us. It's people that don't talk like us. It's everyone we meet. And we should love them, and we should be wanting to share God's love with them. So how are we going to make disciples here at Atascocita Methodist Church? Your leadership talked about it a lot shortly after I arrived in October of 2020. It's about 6 months after I got here. And I will tell you what I have discovered in my years is what drives a church to achieve great things for the kingdom is a passion for certain things. Churches that are passionate about a certain thing can do amazing things for the kingdom of God. And as your leadership and your pastors talked and met, what we discovered is really nothing that should surprise anyone, that we as a church are passionate about children and families. Not to the exclusion of anyone else, but we have a long history since the very first day this church started of being passionate about telling the story of Jesus to children and families. That we as a church can gather around this passion. So our mission statement is to enrich the lives of children and families by leading you to live, love, and serve like Jesus. We think that if you are more Christ-like, if you are a better disciple, that we will be better able to enrich the lives of children and family in our community. I mean, you look at the ministries of this church, Saturday's Child, Kids Hope, which is now just mentoring children as a part of the mentoring program with Humble ISD, Family Promise, HAM. Our biggest community outreach of the year is a free vacation Bible school. And then there is our single largest ministry, the Weekday Learning Center. Almost 400 kids a week come through here, and we get to tell them about Jesus every single day. All of this stuff was in place before many of you got here, certainly before I got here, certainly before many of the pastors that preceded me got here. These ministries are in place because we are passionate about children and families. And I have to tell you that we take this idea of the Weekday Learning Center families being a part of our family very seriously. I mean, some of those folks don't have church homes, and we treat them like, I don't know, maybe our cousin who like never comes to the family reunion, but they're still family, right? And we are there for them when we can be. We had one parent of a WLC student who was diagnosed with cancer, and shortly after he received the diagnosis, we started walking with him and praying with him. The church started praying for him. We had folks that helped care for him all the way through to his memorial service. This church took care of that Weekday Learning Center family. Why? Because we are passionate about children and families. All of this was in place because it is in this church's DNA. It's who we are, to be passionate about enriching the lives of children and families. And our reach doesn't just extend to this community. We've gone international with some of our work. You remember the house in Cuba that we told you we were going to help build? Leanne called their home sort of a nest because it literally was things that were gathered from the junkyard. The house is finished. It's a solid brick structure with a roof and windows and doors and electricity, and Antonio and his wife moved in 2 days ago. It's because we're passionate about enriching the lives of children and families. It doesn't matter where they are. It's who we are. And all of this is taking place because God first loved us. Our response is to love others. by sharing the love that we have from God through the work of Jesus. And we are doing it in a way that we are passionate about. So how do we know if we are succeeding at our mission? How do we know that we are being successful at enriching the lives of children and families in our community? How do we know if we're being successful at helping you to live, love, and serve more like Jesus? Our vision statement, I think, is where we turn to look to see what our community will look like if we're doing our job, if we are effectively accomplishing our mission. We will see a vibrant Lake Houston community transformed by a great love of God and neighbor. When we're doing our job, when we're completing our mission effectively, that's what our community will look like. Vibrant community transformed by a deep love of God and neighbor. Okay, Mike, you got two pretty fine statements there on paper. Sounds good. So now what do? How are we going to do this? How do we enrich the lives of children and families by leading you to live, love, and serve like Jesus? It's these three words. That one. Connect, grow, and go. The next 3 weeks, we're going to flesh out what these three words mean for us, but I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version. Connect means that we are connecting to God in this place. We come and we worship corporately, and we connect to God. Hopefully, you hear a good word from a sermon. We sing His praises, and then we avail ourselves of the means of grace that are available to us. As Methodists, we believe that communion is a means of grace. It is a way for us to connect, to experience God's presence. We also want you to connect with one another because we are the body, right? We're a whole body of Christ. Together, we make the hands and the feet of Jesus. And in order for us to do that, we have to connect with one another and know what all the other parts are doing. Grow. We want you to grow spiritually. We want you to enter into the process of sanctification. We as Methodists believe that you are justified by grace, and once you're saved, once you're justified, that you enter this process of sanctification, which is where the Holy Spirit is at work in, on, and through you, hopefully making you a better disciple every day. But it's not linear. God, I sure wish it was. We had a little, you know, our little graph of our spiritualness goes, shh. That's certainly not been my experience. There's ups and there's downs. There's times that we might feel disconnected. There's times that we feel super connected. And you know what? It doesn't matter where you are in that walk. We have a place for you. We want to help you grow as a follower of Jesus Christ. And we have to grow numerically. We have to grow as a body of Christ. Because the truth of it is, and I saw this when I was doing my previous job with the conference, if a church isn't growing, it's dying. That's fact. If a church is not growing numerically, it is going backwards. You can write that down as fact. And then we want you to go. We want you to go out into the world and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we've done that with our mission trips to Cuba here recently. We do it with all of the outreach opportunities that we have. You need to do it by inviting your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers to come and see what's happening at my church, That's the simplest form of evangelism. It's just inviting people to come and see. If you want to get really sophisticated, you can offer to buy them lunch after church. But come and see what God is doing in this place. We want you to go out into the world and share that love that God has put in your heart with others in our community. So the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk specifically about connecting and growing and going. We are here to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We are here to grow the kingdom of God. And we're going to do it by enriching the lives of children and family, by leading you to live, love, and serve like Jesus. I hope you'll join us in this journey for the next 3 weeks as we learn what it means to do this by connecting and growing and going out into the world. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we love because you first loved us. Everything that we do is because you first loved us. And God, it is a love that is so big and so deep and so all-encompassing that we really cannot even begin to wrap our minds around it and fully understand it. But we thank you, God, that you first loved us. Help us to go out into the world and to be a beacon of your love for people to experience. Help us, Father, to love our sisters and our brothers that you put before us. We're so grateful for your love and for your grace. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.